Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Need that. Just, it's kind of funny how that works. Okay. So tonight's going to be very special, I think, or it can be very special to the Lord, but we'll determine that. As tonight, I would like for us to prayerfully teach, prayerfully create, and reverently be a part of the fear of the Lord. I don't think you just approach that subject matter lightly. I don't think you just allow any type of environment for a teaching on the fear of the Lord. But if ever the body of Christ, if ever the body of Christ was in need of a now word from God, it's now. And there are some things about God, there are certain some things in God's word that do not return void. In fact, the word itself does not return void. And this is a season of us as a church family really committing ourselves to getting rooted and grounded in the right things. And the right thing is having a holy, awesome fear of the Lord. And so the three of us are going to just raise our hearts and our hands, and we're going to begin to create an atmosphere for the Lord's presence. Now, what sometimes people think of is like, well, we need to have worship like first service on Sunday morning. And in case you were not here, there was a Holy Ghost explosion in first service Sunday morning. I don't think I'm overstating what happened in first service. The heavens opened up, the glory of God came, and there was no preaching. Because we all know that preaching is the great evil of the presence of God. That's why you hear people say, man, it was such a great service, there wasn't even any preaching. Now, second service was no less powerful and life-changing, but God used the teaching of His Word to reveal His presence in the same manner. My beginning point tonight is in both services, Sunday morning. There was a very strong presence of God that was impossible to deny. How many with a raised hand would just hold up your hand and say, I was in first service Sunday morning when God used worship? Okay? How many of you would just say a hearty amen about the presence? There was a heaviness and an awareness and a strong conviction of God's presence. Amen. Someone describe it in the way you experienced it, and then we're going to pray. The tangible presence of God was here. Thank you, Christy. Sharon.
It was like a blanket on you. It was just so tangible. It was so real.
It was like a blanket, she was describing it. Someone else. Yes. It was the glory of God. The gifts of God were operational. The congregation was in order. And God was using the different generations to reveal His heart to us. A couple of pastor friends of mine, their services don't start until after our first service starts. And so one of them called me this week and said, man, I can't believe you and your wife just stood back and didn't do anything. How do you do that? And I said, the fear of the Lord. We must have a fear of the Lord in that manner, but more than just on Sunday. I told my friend that called me, I said, you know what? I was terrified that if I said anything or did anything that would call glory to myself, that glory would judge me. That's the kind of fear of the Lord that God has put in my heart. How many of you know God doesn't just randomly dispense His anointing and just here a little and there a little and here's some glory and there's some glory, but there's always responsibility that comes with the glory of God. So we're in the same place, we're on the same page. I want us, a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church, to begin to pray and have the boldness and the audacity and the scriptural obedience to pray and ask God for the healthy fear of the Lord. How many of you have had, you've been in a church and they've asked you to do that before, besides this church? Some of us have this experience. That's an awesome experience to say, well, tonight, you know what, there was more about consciously pursuing God's presence and we were learning about God in that manner than just opening the Bible and pretending to listen for 30 minutes. So God, we just reverently call upon the name of the Lord. Won't you answer, Lord? Hey, somebody's guilty and they're looking at everybody else while they're trying to find their phone. It's you, isn't it? Click. How many of you know that didn't wreck a thing? The Holy Spirit's not so fragile. He's like, up, I'm done here tonight. How many of you know that? Man, I'm so thankful for a church that longs to live in the glory of God. If you get that about this church, you're going to love being here. Because we understand that with the glory comes conviction, and with the conviction, a millennium. So with our eyes wide open, we just begin to lift our hearts, we begin to lift our hands, and we just begin to pray and ask for the awesome presence of the glory of God. Oh God, fill your people with a holy fear, a holy awe, a holy reverence of you, a holy reverence for you. For Lord, this is more than a temple and a tabernacle. This is more than a church and a building. This is the place that your abiding presence longs to meet with us. And God, in the middle of our week, we long to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, here's my heart. God, here's my hands. Visit my heart. Visit my hands. Visit my life this evening with the glory of God. Strike an awesome fear of you. Not in terms of punishment, but presence. God, show me your presence. God, show me your potential. God, show me your power. Make me sensitive to your voice, that I long to hear your voice say, this is the way, walk in it. Oh God, I just surrender myself from the beginning of the teaching tonight and realize I now am the learner. I now am the listener. God, I'm just going to model seeking you to those around me. God, I just long for you. I just seek ye first. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn your volume up just a little bit. There's the Hispanic part of your pastor. He likes his music loud. Let me just hear this church seeking God in prayer. This is when generational blessing is passed down. This is when the next generation learns how to pray. This is when they look around the room and see the pillars of this church seeking God. That seeking God is not just a feeling. It's about an exercise of our faith. It's about a declaration of our praise. It's about a direction of our heart. And oh God, we just set our heart on you. We just use our lips. We just use our life. I'm going to just ask somebody in your 20s or 30s to just stand and pray what's in your heart. And we're going to come into agreement with that. Somebody in your 20s or your 30s. Desire to grow in that way, God, not for our own personal. And everybody said, amen. Someone else is standing. I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to pray with you. Or were you going to sing? Oh, if you're 20 or 30? We're on the same page. I have the gift of confusion. I'm just flowing. It's just everywhere. Somebody who's in your 40s, just stand and pray. I'd love to hear generational praying. Somebody in your 40s. Somebody that's hungry. One of our teachers. Go ahead.
Father God, I just thank you right now for
yes.
That is so thick that it will penetrate yes. The ground.
Yes.
To where we can't leave this building without your
yes.
Presence just exploding out of us. Father God, I thank you for pouring out to where our cups burst, to where we explode, to where we out to those that enter this building, Lord, and to those that are around us. Father God, I thank you for the transgressions and the problems that we've caused in our lives, that they're broken, that they're removed from us.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for such change and consuming
yes.
Power that we open up.
Yes.
God, we're going to move higher. We're not going to
yes.
Fall down. We're going to keep
yes.
Going up. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Brought back to you, Lord. And as we are brought back to you, Lord, as a family, we will open up to your wisdom, God, so that we can move higher to those that are around us and they can see us in the community, that they'll see us through what God's doing, not through who we are, but what you are through us. Lord,
amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Someone in your 60s. Now, this is not a pray off, a preach off, or a sing off. This is just a genuine seeking of God. In corporate settings, I believe the enemy, one of his weapons against the 21st century church, has been to lull the church into inactivity through lots of stage performance. And I'm not saying that everything that takes place on a stage is performance, but I think the coming together is about presence more than it should be about performance. Conviction more than about comfort. And so I think because we've almost allowed the body of Christ to get comfortable, they've become inactive and mediocre and somewhat apathetic and lukewarm. We're in the right place, but not in the right position. You remember the story of the disciples and how they fished all night on one side of the boat and they caught nothing. They were in the right place. And early the next morning, someone from the shore calls. Scripture says that he's a ways off, but history says he's about 100 yards from them. And he calls out to them and he asks them the question he already knows the answer to. The person calling out that knows the answer to the question he's asking them is the Messiah. He's just been resurrected. And he asks and answers that same question. He says, hey, just move to the other side of the boat. Theologians tell us that boat was no more than 5 to 7 feet in width. He said, you're in the right place, in essence. You're just out of position. They cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and then they caught so many fish, they needed help. Oh, let that be this church. That we're just not satisfied just getting here and being in the right place. Let us move that 5 to 7 feet and say, oh God, put me in a position to begin to catch the blessings of the Lord. To begin to declare that I've not just lived without my amen. I can declare by my testimony, I've got a yes and I've got an amen. That not only has death, hell, and the grave come against me, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And when I needed God, God wanted to use me. And the heavens opened up. I don't want to just talk about last year's revival or last month's move. I want to be a part of this week's revival and this day's move. I just wonder if anybody in their 50s would just have the audacity to change their position a few feet, open up, stand up, and pray the glory down.
Lord Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, that we would go to our knees for the lost, Father God, and that we would call to the north, south, east, and west, and we would call them in. Father, that your wind would blow across this nation and fill the hearts of people that are hurting, and that, Father God, you would open their eyes, that they would see a God that loves them and wants to save them from their lostness, Father God. And I ask, Father God, that you would just reach down and pluck them from the enemy's hand, Father God. Father God, I ask that you would just fill us all with a hunger and a passion to go out and save the lost, Lord Jesus. I ask that you open our eyes, that we would understand and know the calling that you put on our lives, Father God, and that we would walk in it, Father, in Jesus' name.
I was brought up in the spirit, or the school of the spirit, by Joyce and B.J. Smith. Beginning next Wednesday night, these ministers that are in their late 70s are in more demand now preaching all over America than when I served as their youth pastor in Texarkana right out of Bible school. And for 4 weeks, they will teach and preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Beginning next Wednesday, they'll be talking about the private experience, the purpose, the personal benefits, and then the public benefits. They taught us that when someone prayed, as she prayed, to listen to what they were saying and not just amen them, but get into the flow of what the Holy Spirit is saying through them. So this is what they would do. They would say, did you hear her cry out for the nations? Did you hear her say, may we move to our knees and pray for the lost? Now, can I just say something for all of us over 50? It's easier for us to find the knees in our heart sometimes than it is the knees on our carpet here. So understand, if we don't bow, it's not because we're being disobedient or irreverent. We're just finding our knees in our heart. So God, I'm going to follow my spiritual parents. And I heard what you said through her. I'm going to begin to pray for the lost. I'm going to begin to pray to the north, the south, the east, and the West, and I'm going to begin to pray, God, for the lost. I once was lost, God, so I know how to pray for the lost. Oh, God, find some people that were at least as lost as I was and put them beside me Sunday morning, and I'll disciple them, and I'll help them grow in the Spirit, and I'll be a friend to them, and I'll help them. I'll be a training wheel to them. Oh, God, don't just bring the lost to this church to just get lost further, but, oh, God, let me be a spiritual compass. Oh, God, show me my neighbors. Oh, God, show me the people I work with. Oh, God, show me my family members that are ripe and the harvest in their heart is ready. Oh, God, make me a soul winner. Oh God, teach me how to open up my mouth. Teach me how to use my boldness and courage. Oh God, give me a heart for the lost. Well, I hear pastor praying. I was taught by my spiritual parents to up your ante a little bit, to hear your voices. So I'm going to wait for them. I'm going to wait for the passion of God in you, because the passion of God in you is in you to reach the lost. It didn't stop when it found you. It wants to pray through you for the lost. It wants to intercede through you. It wants your words to be that spirit that goes out and finds them and brings them in. So someone in your 60s, stand and pray for the lost.
Thank you, Lord God, that you have positioned us in this time and this place. Father, that you've brought these people together to bring glory and honor to your name. Father, that you've prepared us from the very beginnings of the earth, that you knew us before we were born, Father, before we were even conceived or even thought of, Father, that you had a plan for us. And Father, that strategically we are here now, in this place, in this time, for your glory. Lord, to expand the kingdom, Lord, to win people to the lost, Lord God. Win the lost, the brokenhearted, those that have broken dreams, broken reality, lost hope, Lord God, that you are the redeemer of all these things, Father. That there is an open door that you have opened this time that we are in, Lord God. And that this door being open is the only time that we can
yes.
go through it, because this is where we are
yes.
right now. Father, you have set a table before us, Father. You have a banquet table, and you say, men go out into the highways and the hedges, that all would come and see, and all would be fed, and all would be full, and all would be satisfied. Father, we thank you that you're a great God and that you have greater plans than we could ever think of or conceive, Lord God, because you are great in us, Father, and you are great through us. Father, we are your hands and feet this day and this time, Lord God. Help us not to be just satisfied with where we are, Lord God, but to go out and take the land that you set before us. Father, not only take it, but to take it and possess it, Lord, and to use it to the glory of God. Father, help us to be men and women that are not ashamed of the gospel,
Amen.
But yet we stand up for what we believe in, and we believe what we stand for, Lord God. Because there is a world out there that wants to hear what we have to say. And Father, not always are we saying it, Lord God, but give us again the courage and the wherewithal to speak our hearts, Father. Speak what we know is true, what you've done through me. Father, no one can tell us our testimony is not true because it is what you have given to me, Lord, and what have you given to others. Only I know the things that you have done for me, and you know them, Father. Help me to make those things even known to others, Lord, that how good you are. And then, Father, this day and time, Father, we have more opportunity now than we ever had. And, Father, we just thank you for the pastors that you've brought here to this place. Each person, Lord God, has a purpose, and you fitly join this body together, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I'm about to get to the actual notes that Casey was about to take, but I want those of you that were in first service to go back to a moment where my wife just stopped, and for a long time, she wept, and she just wouldn't move, and the praise team was looking at her and looking at me, and we were looking at Renee, and Renee was looking at us. Do you remember that moment? And do you remember I just kind of stepped back and we just waited? And do you remember just this, like, it was just waves of God's presence hitting the congregation? Some were weeping on their knees. Some were weeping in their chairs. Some were just watching silently and reverently. It's the fear of the Lord. I asked my wife on the way home, I said, baby, you had just really felt it through the music, and I could sense that, and I could see that, and you talked more than normal. She's not a worship leader that talks much. She just allows the music and the musicians to interpret God's heart for us. And she said, when I was weeping, I felt like God was just breaking me and allowing me to feel the compassion that He has for us in our brokenness. And she said, the more I wept, the more I felt like He was just pouring out healing in the room for those that are broken. The Lord is close, Psalms 34 says in verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and if the Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit, then how much more should you and I rejoice in His presence and in His closeness when we have been broken and been crushed? And can I tell you, that presence didn't just stay here for a few hours on Sundays and then just lift off. It's in this room right now.
Amen.
I want you to reverently and fearfully access the realm of the Spirit for whatever you have need of that's broken and crushed in your life. It could be your dreams. It could be relationships. It could be your finances. It could be your soul. It could be your sport. Whatever it is, just prayerfully begin to access that and call upon the name of the Lord and allow Him to come and begin to pour in His oil that would heal you, that would bind up the broken hearted and begin to proclaim liberty to the captives. Lord, we just begin to do that. We realize that there has been a release of your heavenly healing oil. Oh God, pour your healing into our grief, into our loss, into our brokenness, into our shatteredness, into our hopelessness. Oh God, mend our brokenheartedness and our crushedness. Oh God, put our dreams back together as you see them. Oh God, we just cry out to you. We know you're close. Your word is yes and your word is amen. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, we've prayed and asked that we would be consciously aware of your presence, and so we know that your presence is here. So we access that right now. Our brokenness has not disqualified us. Our discouragement has not disqualified us. Our sinfulness has not disqualified us. We're quickly able to boldly come to you and confess our sins. And you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we call upon the name of the Lord and now we're saved. Save us from our brokenness. Save us in our crushed spirit, our crushed dreams. If Satan has crushed one of your family members and they've become a prodigal to you and to the Lord, then pour his oil in that crushed place. We cry out for Evan. For every Evan in our life and for the Evan in Barry and Cheryl's life, we cry out. That's what church families do. We cry out for each other's broken. And tonight we bring Evan before the name that's above all names. We bring Evan before the name of Jesus. You go ahead and call your Evan by name. You go ahead and call them by name and you begin to call them home. Call them back. We call upon the name of the Lord for every Evan in this room. And we believe that with God all things, even our things, are possible. We pray for every Sarah that's bound by any kind of addiction. God, your word said that you would bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh God, we open up the prison to every person in our life. We call for the Sarah in our life to be set free from every addiction of this world. In Jesus' name, we open the prisons in our lives, the loved ones in our lives. See, I believe for there to be a revival of God's power, there must become a holy awareness of God's presence. And I am so thankful for the older generation in this church that continues to pursue God and lead the way in their faithfulness in this church, because there will not be a revival of His power until there is a holy awareness of His presence. And people, I'm telling you, we are living in a world now that nothing short of God's power can turn the tide of evil. But I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. And I'll be John Brown if I sit back and let the enemy take the Evan in my life, take the Sarah in my life, take the Evan and the Sarahs in your life. I'm telling you, it's time for you and I to get a holy backbone and come to the altar of God like we sang tonight. This means war. And I'm telling you, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Oh, let the boldness of God and a holy backbone rise up in you. I stir up a holy fervor. I stir up a holy faith. I stir it up. Let your voice be heard in the natural realm and in the realm of the spirit, church family. That takes courage for mamas and daddies to stand up, call their child by name, their nephew by name. There's probably not a family here in this room that doesn't have an Evan or a Sarah. They just got a different name, but they have the same types of problems. Yes.
And she belongs to God. That's right. And I'm standing on that promise. I raised my child in the way she would go when she was done.
Yes.
Standing on that promise of God. I'm standing on it.
Amen.
And she'll love you and she'll bring your children to church so I don't have to.
You help this tired grandma right now. We're going to stand on Proverbs 3 and 5 with that tired grandma. I want us to come together. I want our voices, not to scare Violet. I'm so sorry, Casey. It's so good. I'm kind of thrilled because in the natural realm, I'm like, little Violet's here tonight. The new baby's here. And it's significant because we can stand on that, that behold, there's a new beginning, a new creation in the house today. May that stir in each of us a new beginning, something new being birthed in us. It's been different here at the church this week. I know we've sat with Casey, Pastor Casey, three straight days, and we've talked hours and hours and hours in how can we be even more effective in taking the 200 kids from newborn to fifth grade that now attend church here. How do we disciple them more effectively? How do we train them more effectively? We have record numbers of children saying, I want to be a missionary, Pastor. Did you just hear what I said? We have little kids whose heroes are missionaries, not rock stars and movie stars, but missionaries that don't just look up to them, but want to live like them and become a missionary. And her heart is just filled with tears and her heart's open. Oh God, teach me how to train these 200. But we just getting started. When your kids and grandkids come, we're going to have to be in phase two. Everybody's like, amen, but who's going to pay for it? I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is we've raised all the money we need for phase two. Can I have an amen? The bad news is it's in your pockets. Still in your pockets. Still right there, right here. Yeah, I knew you were in until you realized where it was coming from. But I went home this afternoon, and I finished my message, and then for 3 hours, all I did was pray in the Spirit. And I began to get a vision, not just for the ones coming, but, oh God, protect those that are here. Cause them to grow and expand and enlarge their lives. and keep the enemy blind to them. Hide them like Moses was hid. Don't make them a basket case, but hide them in a basket. Come on. You ever have your kids come out from hiding and the enemy find them in the reeds in their teen years or their 20 years? You got to keep your hand, the hand of God, on your babies, and it's not easy. So tonight, I want us to remember one thing at the end we're going to do. And I'm going to take the next couple of minutes to piece the first, the middle, and the last together. At the end, we're going to worship God. Let us be mindful that about three Wednesday nights, the Holy Spirit exploded prophetically. People like Rachel Kent, I think I saw, yeah, she's right here. Anointed, leads worship at her parents' church over in Sugarland or Stafford. But I think God did something very special in your heart. And since we're in front of everybody, it goes better if you shake your head like, yeah, by faith, God really did. But I don't know who you were praying for. You totally missed it. But God began a restoration and a realignment in the psalmists in this house. And the promise of the Lord was that the glory would come through our worship.
Come on.
We got to keep our eye on that. We got to be very consistent in that and recognize that worship is much, much more than. And man, you get of an instrument, it's the position of a heart. And man, you get that position in your heart right, even a joyful noise can invite the glory of God. Me and Shane practice it every Sunday morning, right here. So let me put the pieces together, because at the end we need to make sure that we make, on purpose, worshiping intentional according to the prophetic word of the Lord. We have been in a series on the benefits of seeking wisdom, because wisdom, number one, provides a sense of personal security, stability, and well-being. Wisdom is very key, as it helps us build strong homes, and it promotes, number two, happy family relationships. Number three, we heard that wisdom gives us favor in the workplace. Number four, we learned that it enables us to overcome major obstacles and opposition. Number five, we learned that wisdom teaches us how to work smarter, not harder. Number six, we talked about how wisdom exalts us before others. Number seven, we learned that it diffuses angry people and situations. Number eight, wisdom affects our physical health and well-being. And finally, number nine, it provides protection. Now, notice what James says here. He says in chapter 1 and verse 5, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Another word for reproach here would be blame or fault or criticism. So the Lord is saying it's a given you're going to lack wisdom. Therefore, let the tension of not knowing enough drive you to me and ask of me what can only come from me, and I'll not just give you a little, I'll give you a lot. I'll give you this wisdom. I'll give this which you must have that you do not know. I'll give it to you generously without finding fault, blame, or criticism. So I think tonight we should continue to ask God for wisdom. Expect to receive that wisdom generously and not fear the repercussions. Now, we transition to Proverbs 9 and verse 10 that says, the fear of the Lord, though, is the beginning of that wisdom. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Before we can truly understand how the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, I think we need to understand what the Bible means by the fear of the Lord in context. I want to begin by saying the fear of the Lord generally refers to a specific sense of respect, awe, and submission to a deity. And that's what we've been practicing. We've been practicing the presence of God by respecting the presence of God, by submitting to the presence of God, by just kind of standing back and just being in awe of God. Now, there's a difference between the fear of the Lord and the fear of God, as many interpret it. Many hear the phrase fear of God, and to them it suggests the apprehension that comes with divine punishment. But in the Bible, the word translated fear can have several different meanings, and the one we looked at first last week is that it can refer to the terror that one feels in a frightening situation. I think many, many times in many of our days, we arrive at frightening situations. And we really don't know how to handle them. We really don't know what to do. It's bigger than us. And yet everything valuable in our life, everything precious to us, lies in the balance of how we handle this moment that terrifies us. That terrifies us. I think we have to take a moment. Can we agree that we arrive at places in our life that threatens everything precious to us? Can we agree in that moment there's the potential of losing much of which is most precious to us? And how it may not just be one moment, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year, it could be a season of really living in a place called not knowing. There's no real certainty and there's no real guarantees. And there's that tension, there's that terror. And it can keep you up at night, or it can begin to teach you to lean on God in maybe a way you haven't leaned on Him for a while because you haven't needed Him in that manner for a while. Conviction alert, conviction alert, conviction alert. We tend to lean more on God when we need Him more than maybe when He's optional. I got this. I got this. We're good. So Deuteronomy chapter 2 tells the story in verse 24, to set out now and cross the Ammon Gorge. See, I have given you into the hand of Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. This very day, this is where God is in our moments of terror. This very day, I will begin to put the terror and the fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. The fear of the Lord is needed most when we face the terror of the enemies in our life. And if we'll allow the tension that the terror brings, and the tension creates trusting, and the trusting releases Him to terrorize our enemy before we ever get there. Now that was encouraging to me. He literally sent out reports of His people and caused their enemies to tremble. God can put a report of the Lord in your enemy's heart as well. We've sang that song forever. Whose report will you believe? Well, you know what? You don't just have a report to believe or a report to deal with, but the presence of God, practicing the fear of the Lord when in the fear of your enemies, releases the report of the Lord to your enemies. And the Lord can go big and send your enemy home. Because I'm telling you, God doesn't get a lot of glory from our depression and defeat. God does not get a lot of glory from our depression, our defeat, and our division. God doesn't get a lot of glory. There's not a lot of glory in God's house when we're in the midst of our depression, our discouragement, our division, and our disobedience. So He would love to receive glory in the middle of the terror of your enemy. Secondly, the fear of the Lord can mean respect. It can mean respect in the way a servant fears his master and serves him faithfully. Joshua 24 says in verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." So here we see a position change. So see, we are coming to the ending of tonight's teaching. We're putting all the pieces together. We're talking about worship. In this season, God's people, notice, we're dealing with other gods. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, in bondage, and serve the Lord, worship the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, you got to get you some Joshua spirit in you. But as for me and my household, I'm not going back to Egypt by worshiping their gods. I'm not going back to the Euphrates by worshiping the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, I'm going back to the altar. I'm going back to the Lord. I'm going back to the Word of God. And with fear and awesome reverence, I will let every breath in me begin to praise the Lord. I will be shut up no more. I will not use my voice to speak death, but I will use it to release life. I will have a say so in this matter. I will practice the fear of the Lord in the midst of the other gods of this land. I will not allow the culture of me, myself, and I, of comfort and convenience, to cause me to turn away from the God of who I am. And I will turn the God of who I am toward my enemy with my praise. So, devil, you better get ready, because you're going to hear me before you see me. And what you're about to hear come out of me is praise. I'm sending out the worshipers first. I'm not waiting for Pastor Kendall to come to the stage. I'm not waiting for Julia. I'm sending out the praisers into my battle first. I've sent out the criticizers. It didn't help me. I sent out the gossipers. It didn't help me. I sent out the backbiters. It didn't help me. I sent out the depressors. It didn't help me. I sent out the distressors. It didn't help me. So when everything else has failed, I'm going to send out my praisers. We in the altar call, we almost done, but some of you just getting your praise back. I'm sending out my praisers. I cannot leave this to anybody but God, so I'm sending out my praisers. I'm praising Him for the healing the doctor has not yet confirmed. I'm praising Him for the healing the doctor has not yet confirmed. I'm praising Him for the daughter that's coming back home and coming back to church. I'm praising Him for the nephew and the niece that's gotten away but's coming home. I'm praising You, God, for the job promotion I'm about to get. I'm praising God for the job I'm about to get. I'm praising You, God. I'm sending out the royal praise. I'm changing the environment and the atmosphere on the inside of me, and it's changing the atmosphere around me. For greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. This thing called Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm telling you, it knows the way to open up the heavens. The glory of God's presence in me knows the truth. The glory of God's presence knows how to turn on the light in darkness. Oh, some of you are about to get your praise back.
Right, enemy is shaking.
For the last year, our men have been in small groups waiting for this moment. I activate every man in this room to stand to their feet and begin to take a SEAL Team 6 position of praise. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about prayer. We've done a little bit of praise, and now we're going to do a lot of praise. Every man in this room, we want to set the thermostat in this house, and we want to set it to seeing the glory of God. And if it takes our praise to punch holes in the spiritual atmosphere above this house so that the glory of God can shine through, rain through, and come through, then we're going to do it right now. We're going to join people like Kendall, who has spent their life changing atmospheres and thermometers and thermostats in people's hearts and homes. We just begin now as men. We're going public tonight. We go in public tonight. We know what we're doing now. We know who we are. We know who He is. We're no longer intimidated by our falling short, because we took our falling short and we took it to the glory of God and the God of that glory. We pray. We're not afraid to stand. We're not afraid to pray. We're not afraid to be strong and bold. We're not afraid to step out of the house of God. We know how to take territory. We know how to have our say-so. We've taken our place as ushers and greeters and parking lot attendants. We've taken our place as risk management directors and youth sponsors and children sponsors. Tonight we take our position in this house as worshipers and as praisers. And we've boldly just been waiting our time. We've been training and we've been training and we've been waiting and we've been training. And we've been just knowing that God has been raising us up to be a company to the King. And now just as David, King David had a company, this house has a company of men that report to battle. Now, women, just extend your hearts and your hands towards the men around you. T.D. Jakes used to say, "Woman, thou art loosed." I want you to say, "Man, thou art loosed." We loose our men to be priests and kings. Just loosing us. You're releasing us. Now, ladies, join us, if you would, please, by standing to your feet and just begin to outshout us. Bring your altos and sopranos. Bring them one by one. God, we just begin to become two that are now one in you, and we declare that there is a wholeness and a wellness in this house. We fear you with an awesome reverence. We are servants who lay our life down for you. We've come to become more like you. Not to get more from you, but to become more like you. Let us be as Moses that was in your presence, and that people would almost need a veil to see us, the glory be so strong. Gosh, Lord, we just make a noise. We just make a noise. If you know how to whistle, make some noise. If you know how to make a shout, You know what's going to be really funny is some of you have just given the new person you brought to church something to talk about on the way home. And you're going to be able to say, that's not like any Wednesday Bible study I ever been to. But you know, it is just time for God's presence. It's just time. You know, does anybody really have to know what time it is to say it's just time? And so as a team, we have been in prayer this week because this Sunday morning, we are going to celebrate with three things. Worship until it's finished. Till he's finished. We're not going to make it go just to go, but we're going to worship until we're finished. Number two, we're going to gather at the communion table. And we're going to celebrate with holy reverence the communion table of the Lord by partaking of Holy Communion. And then we're going to share our heart. A missionary is driving in from San Antonio. You're going to hear about the two missions trips that will take place in July. A group is going to Denver to the inner city. They'll be feeding the homeless. They'll be doing a vacation Bible school. And just a tremendous opportunity for many of the Dominionites to go to Denver. Then our youth are headed to San Antonio, and they'll be working with the homeless in the streets in the poorest zip code, one of the poorest zip codes in America, in a couple of weeks. And Sunday morning, we are believing, and Sunday morning we can raise at least $5,000 to buy the essentials, like things like essentials for the homeless in Denver, curriculum for VBS. And so I want you to prayerfully go home and think about being involved in all three. I love to be in a church that the pastor expects more of himself and expects more of his congregation. Aren't you glad to be in that church? some of you don't lie very well. But I want you to expect Sunday morning. I want you to come expecting more of him and from yourself. I want you to come ready to worship until he's finished with that. I want us to take of Holy Communion and get back to really reverencing God during Holy Communion. I'm going to ask some of our older school folks like myself, I'm going to spread them out in the congregation, and if you're misbehaved, I'm going to release them to pinch you on the leg like my mom pinched me during communion. How many of you think it's time to bring back that? And then we're going to hear from our missionaries, and then we're going to gather the bread in this house, and above our normal missions giving, I'm believing we'll raise at least $5,000 for homeless people to find the hope and the glory of our lives. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Good night. God bless you. See you in the altar Sunday.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.